Hello and welcome to Sutton Bourne Baptist Church broadcast for Sunday the 18th of October. This is for children in the way who are in year 7 and above. So we are going to play a little game where I'm thinking of an animal and you have to try and guess what animal it is from the clues I will give you. There are 5 clues, so for 5 points, this animal's name is made with 3 letters of the alphabet. Just 3 letters for this animal's name. For 4 points, this animal has different sort of elements of its characteristics of the ones that live together. Some of them are called workers, some of them are called soldiers, you have drones, and you have a queen. Can you guess what animal that is? For 3 points, this animal is known to be a hard worker. For 2 points, this animal lives in colonies. Its house is called a colony. And for 1 point, this animal is mentioned in Proverbs for working well together. So, did those clues help you at all? And did you realize I was talking about an ant? I hope so. If you did, well done indeed. Right, so we are continuing to talk about the parables that Jesus taught us. These were stories that he gave in a very exciting way, very interesting way, to get people's attention, to help them to, he used examples that they were well aware of, and also things that would make them think after about the stories and what the meaning was. And when we're going through these parables, we can see that this did not make the information accessible to everyone. So the parables were not for everyone. Even Jesus said it himself that some people will understand the parables, but others would struggle because their minds were just not focused enough on what he was saying. So the first parable that we're going to look at, and today we're going to look at 4 short parables. The first one is from Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And this is the parable of the hidden treasure. And it's just one verse, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up again and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has, and then goes back and buys that field." Right, I was a bit worried about this man when I first read this because I thought, wow, he's a little bit dishonest, this guy. You can't trust him because he found something and then he realizes the value of the treasure he's found. And he goes and wants to make it legal for him to have that field. He wants to have the treasure sort of to himself and to own it properly. So he goes and sells everything that he has so that he can buy that field. And it can be a little bit worrying to think, wow, was he taking this field from someone else? But if we look at the Old Testament guidance of what people were supposed to do if they found something, the rule was actually that it was more like finders keepers. If you found something, as long as it didn't have a name on it and it wasn't clear who it belonged to, you could keep it. So he wasn't doing anything wrong. And in fact, he actually, instead of just taking the treasure and going his way, he goes to all the trouble of buying the field and then taking the treasure. The person he was buying the field from, if they knew there was treasure there, they would never have sold it. So it was somebody who obviously didn't realize that field had treasure. So it wasn't that this guy did anything wrong. He actually wanted to make it a proper legal sale so that he would own the field in the right way and make it his own. This parable shows us the value of this treasure. We can all understand if you find something that is so valuable, if you found a £20 note, you would really think, oh wow, that is worth a lot. But this guy then goes and maybe uses £5 to buy the field where he's found this £20 note because he wants to own it properly. And we can see here a realization of like, this treasure is worth much more than anything I can pay for it. Nothing comes close to it in value. If we look quickly at the next parable, which is the parable of the pearl, again, it's a nice short one, and it's in verse 45 to 46 of Matthew chapter 13. And it says, also the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. Right, this parable is somebody who's actually searching. This could be somebody who's similar to somebody who's searching for the kingdom of heaven, or somebody who's searching for answers, or they have some questions in their mind and they're actually looking for something that has value and means something to them. And in this case, they're looking for a pearl and they find a pearl. They find a really amazing pearl. So this is similar to somebody maybe having questions in their lives about what is it all about? Why am I even here? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? And then they get the answer, and the answer they get is much better than what they were ever expecting. And everything starts to make sense. Now, from both these parables, we can see that not everybody is going to understand Christians. They're not, the whole world is not going to understand Christianity and what we believe. Because these two parables show that people are willing to go to great lengths to get the kingdom of heaven and to be in the family of God. In both cases, these people did a personal search. It was work for them to do to get the answers of the kingdom of heaven. The man who was searching in the field, even though he accidentally stumbled across it, he goes to a lot of trouble to buy the field and to make sure that the treasure belongs to him. And the man searching for pearls, once he finds the pearl, he sells everything else that he has, goes to a lot of trouble. And all of these personal things show us that there are things that we have to do to get the kingdom of heaven. Before we make that final decision, it has to be a personal search and it has to be appropriate to you as an individual, because you're the one who's going to get the benefits of it. And you have to see the value of the kingdom of heaven, and you have to see that it is worthwhile giving up everything that we have for it. God's offer of joy and peace or everything, it is for everyone. But some people spend years and years and years searching for the joy and the peace that you can get from God. But they're looking for it through money. They're looking for it through the things they own, and maybe ridiculous thing like having 7 cars or something like that. You don't need 7 cars really just for one person, or, you know, or having 35 pairs of shoes or trainers. You don't really need all of that. You just need to find the joy of knowing God and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That will give you much more peace and much more joy than any possessions that you could spend money getting. And joy does come with finding the kingdom of heaven. Because like we said, that the kingdom of heaven is not a place. It is where God is in authority and where God rules and where God is given the rightful place he deserves. And we can see from these two examples that people could come to God in different ways. You know, some people just stumbled across God by accident, really, like the guy who was in the field and he found the treasure. And others actively search for God, and they know there's something out there, and they know there's something they're missing out on. And then they actively make a decision to search, and they could maybe go into church, whereas some people are just invited to church by a friend. Maybe there's a special event at church, and then they end up going to church. And that's more like the person finding the treasure and stumbling across it by accident. Whereas other people are actually searching for a good church to attend, and when they find it, then they have that relationship with God. In both these examples, the kingdom of heaven is a personal exchange of something. God, you give God everything that you have, and he gives you everything that he has. Now, it's not a fair exchange, because what God has is much more important than anything that we can offer. So it's not a fair exchange. But we have to recognize that anything we have does not even compare in value to what God gives us when we give our lives to him. And sometimes God will ask you for something, but it's not that he's going to take it away from you. He just wants to make sure that you're willing to give it up. And this could be anything. It could be like maybe your mobile phone. Maybe you spend so much time on your phone that you don't give God the time that he deserves. Or you want to be on PlayStation so much that you don't give God the time to learn from him and to eat at his table on Sunday morning. So we should give God the time that he deserves. And when we're just spending like even an hour or 2 hours a day talking to God or hearing from God, that is nothing compared to the number of hours of we have in the week. We have such a long time to do lots of other things that we should give God the time that he asks for. It is not a sacrifice that is too hard for us to do. We should be willing to do that. Right, the next parable that we are going to look at is the parable of the fishing net. And it's Matthew 13 again. We're going to stay there for all four parables, actually. And in verse 47, it says, "Also the kingdom of heaven is like this. Some fishermen threw their nets out in the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When the net is full, they pull it into shore and sit down to divide the fish. The good ones go into the buckets, the worthless ones are thrown away. It'll be like this at the end of the age. The angels will go out and gather up the evil people from among the good and will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will cry and gnash their teeth." Verse 50, "Do you understand these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they answered. Right, so in this parable, it's quite similar to the parable of the wheat and the weeds that we talked about a few weeks ago, when we were saying that the kingdom of heaven was like a farmer who sowed wheat, and then while everyone was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds in there as well. And the servants were saying, "Shall we pull out the weeds?" But the farmer said no, because they both look so similar that leave them. And then once they have grown and it's time for harvest, then we'll tell the harvesters to separate the good seeds and the bad seeds and the bad grain. In this case, we see again that it's very similar, where the fish are being separated. The good fish are being kept and put in a bucket, and the bad fish are, or the evil fish are, being thrown into hell. Right. Now, well, people don't like talking about hell. They don't like to think that there's a possibility that people might go to hell. But this is something that out of kindness and out of love for our fellow man, we have to talk about it. We have to let people know that as much as there is the chance for them to give their lives to Christ and go to heaven, there is also the chance that they will just carry on regardless and act as if God is not important, but they could end up in hell. Because imagine this fish swimming in the sea, and then they feel or they see the net coming up behind them. They're going to start swimming faster, and because the net is still closed up, is still opened up wide, the fish will get the idea that, oh yeah, I'm free because the net is behind me. But then the biggest surprise and the worst surprise, when the fishermen start pulling in the net, then the fish realize that the net reached out further than they expected, and it's now closing in on them from every side. And the little freedom they thought they had is gone as the net, the walls of the net start closing in, and then they get captured. And it's the same for some people. They think that the kingdom of heaven does not matter, that God's authority is not important. And they see life coming up behind them, and they think, oh, that's the only danger that I have. But they don't realize that God's power is still at work on this earth, and all his authority should be adhered to. And we should be keeping to the laws that he set out. We are accountable before God to tell other people about these dangers and not let them walk into hell and just think that maybe because we are okay, we don't have to say anything. We have to warn other people about it, because if they have the idea that the judgment of God is something that is not coming, well, they are wrong, because we have the knowledge and the information, and we should try to make sure that we pass it to as many people as God gives us access to. As Christians, it's only out of love that, you know, that we can do this. So we should really try to find opportunities to bring this into our conversations with other people. It's not always easy. So the last parable that we're going to talk about today is again in Matthew chapter 13, but it is verse 52. And in verse 52, the Bible says quite simply, Jesus replied and said, "This means then that every teacher of the law who becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who takes new and old things out of his storage room." So this owner is very shrewd and very, very clever. He knows that if he leaves old things in his cupboard or in his storage room, they are going to go bad and they are going to go off. Even if it was clothes or anything like that, you can mix up things that are fashionable with some old things and you will still look good. So this is about being clever and being shrewd and trying to find a way to make something work. So if we have to pass on the news and the word and what God says about heaven and hell, we can be very clever about it. We can be shrewd about it and make sure that we're giving people that old message, but packaging maybe in a different way, using our phones to help us to send texts, to send other things, and to even reach people that are very, very far away using this technology. So this is what it means about using the old and the new, because you can use both to further the kingdom of heaven. And the message is still the same. The message that Jesus gave more than 2,000 years ago is still the same. That could be the old thing, and the way that you give it out to people may be new. And that message is that we should have faith and accept the gift that God gives us through Jesus Christ. We should seek the kingdom of heaven and be joyful because we have received it, and that we won't end up going to hell. And this good news, we should spread it out to people. We should have mercy on people and feel compassion for them like Jesus did while he was on earth. And make sure that we try and tell people, try and find a good opportunity and a good time to open up to people and tell them the good news, that they don't have to suffer. They don't have to be hopeless. They don't have to worry about their resources, because God, through Jesus Christ, has given us so many amazing things, and we should treasure them and look after them. So let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for all the people listening to this message, and I pray that you bless them with wisdom and understanding of these parables, and that you help them to spend time looking further into them and making sure that they understand it and can pass it on to other people, and we can grow the kingdom of heaven and diminish the numbers of people walking into hell. Lord, bless the kids and look after them as they go to school for another week before half term, and help them to be strong in their faith and to trust you completely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right, well, that's the end of this week's broadcast. I hope that you found it helpful and interesting. And do take care, and God bless you. Bye.